So we're going to continue the halachot of Pesach. And we started last class. And by the way, if you want to just review the halachot from last class, you can. It's actually on YU Torah. And it's at the end of the 4 or 5 cups of wine class over there. So this is part 2. And we started the bedika, the searching for the chametz. So on page 13, we're going to look at the 4 requirements of how you search for chametz. Okay, there's going to be 4 requirements. Number 1 is where you check. And the answer is everywhere where chametz could be. Not only the large places, but also the choirim v'stakim, which are the holes and the cracks where chametz could be. That could be closets and drawers and compartments where chametz is placed. All that is checked, down to the holes and the cracks and under your bed. Okay, if you're anywhere like me, when I was at college, you could look under your bed and find a sandwich, a bagel that was put there 3 months before. And if you're anything like me, you're like, that's still good. Brush it off with your arm and lunch is served. But you're not like that. Stern students like yourself. But when I was in the yeshiva, it was all possible. Unless it had a green fur on it, it was still edible. Okay? Oh, boys, boys, boys. Now I have changed. Maybe not too much. Okay, so number 1, you check everywhere, every little hole, nook and cranny. Number 2 is what you search with. And the halacha requires a candle. Now, nowadays people do use flashlights, but since the tradition has been to use a candle, a candle at least should be there for the beginning of the search itself, and it should not be a multi-wicked candle like you have you use for Havdalah and Avukah. It should be a single wicked candle. And the reason is, a couple of reasons why we don't use multi. You thought, well, if one flame, one candle can give me red look, if I use like 15 flames, you know, make a little mini bonfire, right, walk around the house with it, use a Havdalah candle, I'll see a lot clearer. The answer is, nah, Chazal said one does not do that. Couple of reasons. When you've got a big flame, it's harder to actually see inside little nooks and crannies, but one, projected light works better. And number 2, we're obviously scared we're going to start a fire, so you may not search properly enough. So a single flamed candle is used. Nowadays, people start with that. I will have a flashlight as well, however, to get a good look. Okay, so that's number 2. The 3rd requirement, it has to be done at nighttime. Okay, we do at nighttime. And nighttime, when we say nighttime, we refer to Tzeitu Kachavim, after the stars come out. Not when the sun sets, not Shkia, but at nighttime when the stars have come out. And a couple of reasons for that. Number 1 is that when you have the sun out, kind of like casts shadows into the house and may make it a little bit difficult, more difficult. But candles and flashlights illuminate better in darkness. And number 2, actually, most people don't realize, is that people during the day are too busy. And if you start searching during the day, this final bedika, then you may not be so, you know, so available. You're too busy. At nighttime, people are at home. You know, they're relaxed. They're more available. So nighttime was decreed as the time for this bedika. Number 4 is when it is performed. And we do this bedika for the chametz on Yud Dalad Nisan. The 14th of Nisan is when it should be done. Now, Midoraisa is actually 30 days before, from the 14th of Adar. Okay? Until midday, the 14th of Nisan. However, Chazal decreed that it should be on the 14th of Nisan. That is when the mitzvah to do the bedikah. Now, you'll be noticing that people start searching a lot before, and that they should do. They should be searching and preparing themselves, because there's, you know, a lot of house, a lot of places to search for. We're talking about this final bedikah, which with it we're going to make the blessing, is going to be the mitzvah of bedikat chametz. Okay? And we'll see, by the way, that a possible problem could be that you did such a great cleaning before this point for 29 days, right, from Purim, whenever you started, that there's no chametz to find! So the rabbis were aware of this, and gave us a way to make sure that when we make the bracha over the bedikah, we have chametz to find. Yes, you have a question?
No.
No, okay. So it's actually the 14th of Nisan is when we do it, and a couple of reasons why we do it that time as well. Number one is that it's performed on the night before, so we can serve the beginning of the destruction of the chametz, which you're going to finish with the next day with the biur. So the blessing goes on the bedikah, not on the burning, right? And number two, we want everyone searching at the same time. We kind of want all the Jewish people to do the search on the same day. Yeah. So really, it's kind of like that we want the search to be connected to the final destruction of all the chametz, which is going to happen on the next day. And the next morning, we finally do the destruction, which is going to be the bittul, the nullification, right? And the tashbitu, the actual destruction of the chametz. So we want the two to be connected, so we connect it from the night before to the day itself. Okay? So this is really, when we say bedikas chametz, really on the 14th day before Pesach, you're just preparing yourself for this moment. The real mitzvah is the night before the 14th. That means Pesach's on the 15th, and the 14th is when the mitzvah to destroy your chametz, according to the rabbis, okay, really it's the whole month before you can do it, but the rabbis were mitzvahing that you should do it the night before. So that's when we all go around with our little feathers and our little candles and walk around the house and our flashlights looking for the chametz. We could do it any time before, but the mitzvah to do it is done then, because that's the tashbisu, and that's when we actually do it. Okay? And people, no matter where you are, what you're doing, it's right after nightfall. I mean, even if you're in yeshiva, you're studying Torah, which we know is the greatest mitzvah, right? Talmud Torah connected kulam. That is not the case over here. You leave everything else, right? You don't eat, you don't drink, unless you need some water or something. Maybe a light snack, right? But you don't get into it. Definitely into a meal. As soon as night time comes, bam, you are on a search and destroy chametz mission. That is your mitzvah. That's the 14th straight away. Okay? That's what you're looking for. Or as soon as you're able to do it. So from when the sun stars come out to when you begin, you shouldn't have a meal. You shouldn't make it to a suda. Okay, you have to, the mitzvah kicks in, according to Chazal, at that time, and therefore, as soon as the stars come out, you're on it. Right? You are on it. Okay? And really, you should try to keep all four requirements. It should be a real thorough check with a candle at night and the night of the 14th of Nissan. Those four are what you're going for. Yeah.
Just a question. I think Pesach starts Sunday night this year. Yeah?
No, it starts Monday night.
Oh,
so on Sunday night you're doing this.
Say it were to happen like the day before Rosh Shabbat, so then you just push that off.
It doesn't. It does actually, yeah. So then it's you will do the Thursday night before, I believe. And then you do the bittul afterwards. Or Masa Shabbos you'll do it. If it comes out Sunday night, you'll do Masa Shabbos. You do it all Masa Shabbos, yeah. Okay? Now let's say you forgot to do this before Pesach. Let's say you forgot somehow and there's some chametz. Now remember, you already did a bittul to nullify all chametz. Right? It's going to be two parts of the nullification. One at nighttime, one at day. Okay, we'll see why we have two nullifications. And we'll see the text that is used, and you should understand what you're saying. But let's say you found some chametz, or you've got to the check before Pesach, okay, until Chol HaMoed. So then you check on Chol HaMoed. You go searching on Chol HaMoed itself, okay? When exactly you should do it is a shaila during the day at nightfall. You can speak to your local rabbi about that, but it should be done beforehand, okay? We don't search on Shabbos itself. And not even in Yom Tov, by the way. If you find chametz in your house, out somewhere, on Yom Tov, first of all, you already nullified it. Even if it's a challah, it doesn't exist. It looks like challah, smells like it, tastes like it, but don't taste it. But it's actually muksa on Yom Tov. It's muksa. So what we do is we cover it over, and then during Chol HaMoed, we destroy it. That is actually what you're meant to do. And even if you remember after Pesach, you should still search for the chametz that was in your possession over Pesach, and that should be destroyed as well. But you don't make a bracha on it, because obviously Pesach's gone. Okay. Now remember, you've nullified it. So if you find Pesach that you owned, but you nullified, and you didn't sell, you cannot enjoy it. We mentioned that last class because it's Chametz Shavala Pesach. It's Chametz that existed over Pesach by a Jew. In this case, you. That's not good, but it was nullified, so you weren't over on owning it. Because remember, on Pesach, we're really strict. Kind of an own Chametz. Then you destroy it afterwards and cannot be eaten. Yes?
What about food that, like let's say, like, you know, have you ever been to, like, a bar mitzvah where you, like, make those, like, chocolate, like, lollipops with, like, your picture or something on it? And, like, you would never, like, you wouldn't eat it. Do you still have to get rid of it?
So, that's a good question. We're going to speak about that in terms of what you're expected to sell. We may not get rid of Chametz. These things may have Chametz included in them. So we are careful to say that even so they're connected, we still get rid of it. If you have something in your house that is not chametz, right, then technically you don't, but we do anyway. But technically you don't have to. If it's not chametz, it's not chametz.
No, but it's like food. It's like chocolate.
So it's not chametz, not a problem. If you know it's not chametz, if you're not sure, or it's got chametz added in, we destroy it, or we sell it, which is the same as not owning it at all. Because you can't even own chametz. But if you know it's not got chametz in it, it's not a problem. Right? If you know something's not chametz, you don't have to sell it. Then, to be sure, you get rid of it or you sell it, just to be sure.
So
if you don't know, you don't know. If you're in Suffolk, you don't. This is a deraisa, right? Only chametz is deraisa, is a Torah prohibition, and therefore we get rid of it
so
if we're not sure.
Like just a
decoration,
or whatever, you know?
You mean a food?
A food
or an item that has within it chametz that you use. What is this lollipop with pictures on? Is this like a big...
I've seen, like, where they take a picture and then they print it on, like, a chocolate,
yeah.
Like...
But why are you saying that specifically? Is that like a known...
Because you don't throw it, like...
Because you don't eat it.
You don't
it's like a decoration?
Yeah, it's like a picture. It, like, you don't eat it, but it's still chocolate.
Is it edible?
Yeah.
That's enough. Now, we mentioned this last class. If it's edible enough that a dog would eat it... If it's edible enough that a dog would eat it, then we destroy it. Or sell it, which is just a get out, but it works. That's a real transaction. Okay? So we put it away and we shouldn't own it. Right? I mentioned that last class. By the way, something interesting. Rav Moshe Feinstein said, by the way, dogs in America are different to the dogs in Europe. Dogs in Europe would eat anything. Dogs in America are more mukpid, you know, they're higher standards. So actually, that may change the lacha itself. But is it edible by a dog? We're going to see. Is going to be the thing, and if a dog would eat it and it's got chametz in it, then you've got to get rid of it and put it away, destroy it. If you don't destroy it, then you've got to give it to someone else so you don't own it. You can't even own it. I mean, that's a very strict thing. Yeah.
A noodle necklace
in school. Yeah.
Dog might think that it's noodle,
so I tell you something. If I tell you, those noodle necklaces, which you're right, they made those little macaroni things. You know,
yeah.
As a kid, I had on the wall. Never forget this. My parents had this strange art that was actually bagels. I can't remember this as a kid. It was three bagels, one on top of the other, and it was like glazed and put on the wall. Okay, I remember my father, right, during the Pesach Seder. I never forget this. I remember like yesterday. Looked up at it. And he says, oh my goodness, we've got chametz in the house. And we all have this big freak out. Truth be told, there was nothing to freak out about. It was this glazed thing that was like, you know, it was a piece of art. And it wasn't edible. Even if there was really, like, made from bagel originally, it wasn't anything you could eat. Even that a dog would eat, you know. So in that case, it wasn't a concern. In the case of those noodles, though, I don't know. I tell you something. Sometimes the kids come back with it. I mean, I look at those necklaces. I'm like, oh, delicious. Put that in the pot, and we'll cook them up for dinner. Honey, the Mora gave us dinner. Right, even they're like spray painted. All right, bit of blue, bit of ink won't kill anyone. You know, it could be problematic. I tell you, they just take out from the bag. They just, you know, they gummy it down, and they're spritzing it. That could be a problem. Probably have to destroy that and get rid of it. Yeah. Yeah. Funny, there's a lot of shilas in terms of they used to make ink. They used to make ink from certain dyes, but they would have a beer, and the Truman Suggestion speaks about a certain beer that you would use, part of the beer is Vada Chametz, you know, it's made from barley, whatever. So they would say, well, is that Ruy Lechilas Kelev. You know? And they would say, well, a dog will need it. And they would say, but there was another problem when it came to ink, because they used to write with it, with a quill or whatever, or a pen, and they would actually lick it. You know, they would actually, like, touch to the mouth, because it would dry up on the page or something. These have such problems. And even there, they said, it's not really a chil, although you still can't eat these things, by the way. Even if it's not fitting for a dog to eat, you still can't eat it. What's the idea behind that? Because if you did, you're saying that it's actually a food. It, like, reconstitutes its level of a food. So you still can't even eat. You can get benefit from it, but you can't eat it. Even if it's not fitting for a dog to eat. Now, why would a person eat something that even a dog wouldn't eat? Well, there's a lot of crazy people around, you know? What I say, you know? You come in all the, you know, stripes and strange things. But you can't eat it, even if it's not fitting for a dog to eat. But you're allowed to own it. You're allowed to own it. Yeah.
Should you switch over your toothpaste?
If you know there's chametz inside, you have to look it up. If you know there's chametz inside the toothpaste, which most don't have, most do not have. However, there's a tradition, and I've never, people speak about, if something was open beforehand, I don't know, they used to say this, you know, but if it was used during the year, you shouldn't use it on Pesach. Right? The whole basic concept of this is, you know, although it's not chametz, but it may have a little bit of it, we change our toothbrush, all this kind of stuff, because even a mashu of chametz is a problem. Even a mashu. So it was used during the year, but if you look it up, you see most toothpastes, I believe, you know, do not have chametz in. And now you look at the list, because who knows, now we've got these big factories manufacturing everything, you've got to look into the list nowadays, you know, you've got to get your guides. Okay? So it's the night before Pesach that the real bedikah happens, and that's when we make the bracha. Before then, you don't make a bracha. You make it the night before. Pesach is when the bracha is said over the... That means if you leave your dorm 2 weeks before... You may clean it up and put the chametz away, but you don't make a bracha over the bedikah. You do not make a bracha over the bedikah. Okay, so let's have a look at that. About a person who travels before Pesach. Okay, it's funny. Someone came over to me in shul this past Shabbat and said, "So, Rabbi, you're going away for Pesach? You going to us?" And I said, "No, we don't get away for Pesach." And he gave me a look like I was crazy. He's like, "What? But you're a rabbi. Then you go away to some hotel somewhere." I was like, how to keep Pesach at home? So traditionally, Jews actually used to keep Pesach at home. And it's hard to believe that, but rabbis used to actually be home. I would actually like to go to a hotel. As a kid, we used to go to hotels quite a bit. My wife is against it, although now she's beginning to sway a little bit. And now our home becomes a hotel for the rest of the family who Baruch Hashem, come to visit us from all parts of the globe and Brooklyn. But my wife said, "I'll just say this to you. This is not halacha. I'm giving a personal vignette. My wife is very keen on keeping Pesach at home because she wants the kid." This is my wife, by the way. She's very firm. She wants the kids to see the house being turned over. She says it's a very, very good and important chinuch. And I think, I mean, we used to, when I was a kid, we used to do hotel Pesachs, you know, and they were fun, I have to admit. And we did the home ones. And the home ones, even the preparation and all the aluminum everywhere, like space station creation, you know, and the soups and all the foods and the matzo ball. You know what? It's a good chinuch for kids. So, you know, I got offered a couple of times to go to hotels, and I was ready to go. Make no mistake. My wife was like, "No, I want the kids to see us turn over the house." There's a strong educational... but also an emotional and psychological tool that we implant in our children when they see the house being turned over. You know, I'm not against hotel visits. I state very clearly, we're more than welcome to hotels. And if I got, you know, a good ticket to a hotel, I would go. And my wife is even breaking herself, God bless her. I wouldn't put down staying home for Pesach. You know, Rav Blumenkrantz, Zatzal, in his book, you know, they have the Every Year of Pesach, the book. He has a whole essay there about the importance of staying home for Pesach, you know? If you see me at a hotel next year, don't call me a hypocrite. I'm just telling you. Okay. So traveling before Pesach. So if you leave your house within 30 days of Pesach, and what's 30 days before Pesach? Just so you can remember this halacha nicely and clearly. Purim. Right? So if you leave your house before Purim, most people don't. But if you were to do that... then you have to do the bedika and the bittul. Okay? Now, you can appoint a shaliach, someone to do the performance of it for the 14th, which most people don't. Right? Or they do the bedika before their departure. Okay? But you do it without a bracha, which is basically all of you. All of you will be leaving your dorm rooms, right, within 30 days before Pesach, correct? So you're going to do a bedika, you will just get your chametz together, you put it away. Actually, you don't actually have to do that, because you can sell it, which you'll be doing, and you're going to nullify the chametz that you don't know about, right, either stuff that's not sold. But still, as an inyan, just take your chametz, okay, and you put it away. Are you able to enter your dorm rooms on Pesach itself, if you want to? They close it, you're locked, you haven't get in. Right. Even so, it's just an inyan, you take your chametz, and you should do a light sweep, move the chametz around, put it into drawers, put it away. It should be put away, you know, you shouldn't be like leaving bagels and knocking around, you know? Even though you're going to sell it, and you should, and even though you're going to nullify it, which you should as well, and you're going to have in mind the chametz that's inside your dorm rooms, but that chametz belongs to you. And if it's communally yours, you should still sell it and make sure those that own it do. If they don't, it could be a problem, yeah. You don't own your dorm rooms, but you own the chametz in your dorm rooms. You're correct. You own that chametz. That belongs to you, even though you're renting out the property itself. And same with anyone. Anyone who rents a property, which you do, the chametz in that property belongs to you. And therefore, you have to deal with that chametz. Okay? And if you don't, when you get back, you've got to throw it away. Because it's chametz shavala Pesach. Yeah. You could have open box of crackers if you sell it. It doesn't have to be closed. If you sell it, it's not yours.
But don't we have like a waiver thing that we sign with the dorms that like...
I don't know. What do you have over
I
here?
Feel like they, I remember last... I think last year they gave us an option to like sign paper and like kind of like selling our comments.
That's what you're doing. That's exactly it.
So that, it's okay to keep the stuff?
Yes. You don't have to throw away all your chametz. If you want to, so you can. You can gather... Yes. In other words, there's no mitzvah to sell your chametz. It's just a helpful, if you don't want to destroy it all,
yeah.
You'll be destroying some just to make the bracha and fulfill the mitzvah. But the rest you're going to sell. When you sell it, it's not yours.
You
can still gather it together and put it in a certain place, yes. Yeah. That you should do. Okay. That you should do, okay? If you leave your home 30 days before Pesach and don't plan on returning until after Pesach, then this takana does not exist. Right? You've got a summer home in the Hamptons, right? Or in Florida. Oh, in Eretz Yisrael. Nice. Up my back. Okay, so over there, you don't have to travel to Israel to do bedika. Okay, right? And you don't have to go over there, but you're going to sell the chametz over there to whoever, and you will, destroy and do the bedika wherever you are. Okay? That's really the way it's going to go.
But do you do it before you leave, and then wherever you are, you do it again?
Yes, I make a bracha over it. That's what people traditionally do, because the mitzvah, the rabbanon, is to make the bracha on the night before. Okay? That's the way you do it. Exactly, Charlie. Yes?
How long before do you have to leave?
If 30 days before, then you don't have to worry about it. Within 30 days, from Purim to Pesach, which is all of you, for example, in your stone rooms, you have to do bedika, you'll get your stuff, put it together, and do bedika, look for chametz, and gather it together, even though you're going to sell it, and nullify that which you don't even sell. But even so, you do the bedika, but you don't make the bracha. The bracha is only made the night of the 14th. Are you clear? So within 30 days of Pesach, i.e. post-Purim, that's when it comes together. Okay? Okay, so we said there's certain things you shouldn't do a half hour before nightfall in preparation for this, right? You don't do engrossing activities. You don't start a paper or something. You don't start eating bread beforehand, making a suda. And you don't start learning Torah. Even right before, because you want to make sure you're at this mitzvah right as soon as the sun sets. Okay, and once nightfall comes, all eating and drinking should be suspended. But if you need to drink some water, I think you can be lenient with that, I think. But once nightfall comes, the stars are out, bam, you're on it. Who does it? So whoever owns the premises should do it, or whoever owns the chametz itself. Okay, it falls upon that person. If they can't do it themselves, they should get a shaliach, but generally speaking, we do it now. Okay, so how do we carry out the search? Page 15. So basically, as we said already, before the night of the 14th, everyone started to do their clean. No one waits. Nobody waits till the 14th to start looking for chametz. Right? You're starting, the panic builds up slowly from Purim. It starts as for my wife, a vague panic on Purim, and then as the days progress, it turns to a hysteria, and then a mass hysteria. It shouldn't bother, I'm only joking, right? It should be calm and relaxed.
I have a question on the one before.
Yes. Where? In your parents' home?
Yeah.
So the obligation is on them?
Not on me.
No.
But what about, like...
If your parents are not observant, and they... So this is interesting. Let's say you have a situation, which happens many times, that people are Bali Tshuva, or the parents, you know, and they start observing, and the parents have bread around the house. I'd say that's a very fair and good question. Okay. So the answer goes like this. It's their chametz, not yours. Right? The mitzvah of Bali Raya Bali Matzah goes on the owner. It's theirs. They have to deal with it. If they don't want to deal with it, that's their problem. If they don't really want to sell it, then you cannot get any benefit from it even after Pesach, because it's owned by your parents over Pesach. God bless you. Try to sell it for them. But if you're going to sell it, you make sure they can't use it, because you can't sell and use, because that's defeating the purpose, obviously. So if you're able to persuade them to get rid of the Vadei Chometz, you know what I'm saying, the real heavy duty stuff, you know, the bread and the cookies and the rest and the pastas and the beers and the whiskeys, that's a good thing to do. But they don't own it. So you can technically be in your home and you walk around, there's bread everywhere. I don't suggest it, but if that were to happen, that could work. And for Shalom Bayis, it probably should. Okay? There are other leniencies will come to using other things around the house and dealing with ovens and microwaves, all the rest of it. We can give you how to kasher an oven and a microwave, all the rest of it. There's ways to do all that, and even dishwashers, you know, which we're going to come to. But it's theirs. It doesn't belong to you. And in that sense, it's none of your business. Even if your parents and they let you eat their food, it's still their food. If you have food that is yours, like in the dorm rooms, then you're responsible for it. If you have chametz in your room that belongs to you and you've taken, then you've got to deal with it. But if there's chametz around the house, it may not be pleasant, but you have to be there, you know, on Chol HaMoed Pesach, whatever, even say it at night, then you've got to deal with it yourself. Okay? But it's not yours. Okay? Okay. So we got a problem. I've cleaned my whole house. There is no chametz. You're like, night before Pesach, chametz? Are you mad? Chametz in your house, the night before Pesach? Right? It's like the last place. So what are you going to do? You have to do a bedikah. And you've got to make a bracha on the bedikah. Now, you can't have a bracha levatala, which means you can't make a bracha and then not find the chametz. So what are you going to do? So we hide chametz around the house. Okay? And the minhag, which is based upon Kabbalah, right? The Ben Ishchai brings it down, but people do it, is they hide 10 pieces of chametz around the house. Now, each one of them, let me be very clear about this. First of all, I'm talking from experience. Number one, write a list, or make the people hiding the chametz write a list of where the chametz is. Because I've spent many hours telling my kids, now, where's the 10th piece? I don't remember, Abba. I don't know. You know, and for my kids, it's like a lot of fun hiding it. All right, but it's a real halachic thing. Now, the reason they're hiding the chametz, right, you just clean the entire house, and now you're doing the craziest, most insane thing. You're telling your kids to hide chametz. That's crazy. You know what I'm saying? So, first of all, you, as a wife or a mother, should make sure that you know where the chametz actually is. Okay? Number two, you should make smaller than the kezias, because we said that a kezias is the minimum shear of chametz itself. So make sure that each piece of bread is a small little crumb. Number three, do not wrap in aluminum foil. Why? Not because of the search, but because when you come to burn it the next day, many people will leave it in the aluminum foil. They'll try to burn their chametz, and they can't burn it because it's an aluminum... What are you doing, okay? You're not going to search now. Shani, you all right? What happens?
I don't know. The thing just fell out.
You okay? You broke it?
I was just sitting here.
Yeah, sorry, I'm not blaming you. I'm just asking. Right? You okay? Is she okay?
Yeah. How many pieces over here?
You all right?
Yeah.
All right. So don't put it into aluminum foil. Why not? Because when it comes to burning it, you're not going to destroy it the next day. What are you going to do? Toast it. You don't want to toast your chametz. You want to burn it. So my recommendation, by the way, I was in the supermarket yesterday with my wife. And now they brought out 10 little bags they sell you for putting your 10 piece of chametz in. Right? We Jews make business out of anything. You do not need to do that. You don't need 10 specially prepared bags. Eventually, give another 2 years, they'll become the halacha. You've got to buy 10 little bags. No. You can wrap it up in a little bit of paper. Know where it is. Be careful with it. And less than a kazayas is the way to do it. Hide around the house. By the way, that is a real search. Right? When that search happens on the 14th, it's a real badika. You're not just looking for those 10. You're actually looking for chametz. Now, chances are you won't find any more. But I'll be honest with you, I have found chametz when I've gone looking. It's not to find these 10, then off we go. The night before the badika, you just hide 10 so that if you don't find any, you made a bracha over some searching. Okay, and some finding, because you want to, the bracha is hal on the actual finding of some chametz. So you make a bracha, and then you have 10 pieces knocking around. One piece will suffice. But you have 10 pieces, right, here around. So when you find it, when you make the bracha, you have, but it's a real search. I mean, you may be looking under the beds and in places, you know, and in pocketbooks and children's school bags. There is enough chametz in there to serve breakfast a year. Amazing how much... cars, right? My wife's minivan, over a year of driving with kids in, God bless them, I'll bring out like chunks of challah, toast half eaten, Cheerios. I mean, like 20 boxes of Cheerios you'll suck out of there, you know? So you should do a real search the night before. You're not just looking for those 10, you're looking for real chametz, okay? Yeah.
Can you wrap them in saran?
Yeah. You can wrap whatever you want. I just, from my personal experience, I've seen people wrap it up in aluminum foil, keep it in there and burn it the next day in aluminum foil, and it's just like, it's still there, you know? You still fulfill the mitzvah if it's in whatever coating you want. Okay? All right. If you're leaving your house 20 days before, you don't have to do this. This is purely as an eitzah, as advice for the bracha search, which is the night before. But you don't have to start hiding 10 pieces around your rooms if you're leaving 2 weeks before or a week before Pesach, and then, you know, that you're not expected to do. That's just for the making the bracha. Okay? Now, the bracha is an interesting bracha. It's al biyor chametz, which is the bracha of destroying the chametz. Okay? But you're not destroying, you're just collecting. So that bracha serves for the next day when you will actually destroy that chametz. Okay? Is only one bracha. And that bracha is made the night before on the search, although the bracha you're going to make is al-biur chametz, which means to destroy chametz. And the reason is because it's like one thing. You start with the search, you collect, and then you burn or you destroy the next day. But you only make one bracha. You make two nullifications, two bittles, but one bracha. And the bracha is the night before, and you have in mind, right, the destruction of the chametz that you're actually going to do the next morning, right, after you finish all your chametz. You shouldn't speak in between the bracha and the search, like any other bracha, right? Ovel l'siyatan. You make a bracha, and you do the act. So you should make the bracha, and then you go searching, and you shouldn't speak until you've at least found one piece, right? Or anything which is necessary for the actual search itself, such as, where's the 10th piece? Right? That is necessary for the search, all right? So please, wake up the kids, you know? All right. If you have like 5 properties, you only make one brach and one property, and that serves for all your properties. Okay? That's going to work for all of them. You don't have to go hunting and searching in different places. You don't make another brach on your car. You search the car, it's clean of chametz, and then you make a bracha on the night before. Okay? Okay. So now you've done your search. You found your 10 pieces, right? You checked everywhere else. You check your pocketbooks. You check children's trousers, right? You check the hem of your husband's trousers as well. There's like a collection of food. It'd be amazing how much stuff you can find in there, right? You've emptied out your vacuum cleaner, which is full of chametz as well, by the way. It doesn't get sucked up and go into, you know, a black hole in space, right? It actually ends up in a vacuum cleaner bag that needs to be changed as well and taken out. And that's probably got more than a kazayas collected together, right? And dogs would break in there. They would end up having a whole meal just over there. So you've done it. Now you make the bittul, one of the first nullifications. And the first nullification you make after the bracha, after the search the night before. That bittul is going to only say, kol chamira, all chametz, de'ikib rishusi, that is in my rishus, right? Lo biyat, which I've not destroyed, should be levata v'hefki ka'afrika arish, could be hefka, ownless, like the dust of the earth. Now you're going to say over there, only chametz that I don't know about. Because there's still going to be chametz in your possession that you're still allowed to eat, right, till the sixth hour of the next day, which you do know about, which is breakfast. So in other words, after this nullification, you can still eat bagels, right? Now you're going to do it in a very select place so the chametz doesn't go spreading, you know. But you're going to do it, the first bittul, of the night before. The second bittul, you're going to do after the destruction the next morning, right? And then you're going to say all the chametz that I do know about and don't know about. Because then basically you're basically being mevata all of the chametz. If you sold chametz, that selling kicked in, was going to kick in before the time of Issur itself. So let's say you sell your chametz. That's gone. You don't own it. It's not belong to you. Don't worry about it. It's put away in your cupboards. You sealed it. You put a little sign up there, you know? In my house, you've had your kids like color in a nice stop sign with Pesach Dik written on it, and you stuck it on the thing, and you chained it up, and all the rest. Fine. Should be put away. Great. Next, you have destroyed another chametz. You burned some chametz. The 10 pieces you found, any other chametz you find, good. The rest of it, you sold or you destroyed beforehand. Okay? So now you're left with one last thing. This is a fun... Now, really, this is the only thing you actually need to do. And that is to nullify. Nullify works. We do everything. We destroy, we search, but we nullify. We do the fun... The fun nullification is all the chametz that I know. And by the way, you have to say it in the language you understand. Right? You can say it in the original Aramaic, but it should be said in a language you understand, and you nullify it all. That which I know about, that I don't know about, ka'afra da'ara, it's not mine. Okay, which is obviously not going to include the stuff you sold, because you don't own that. Yes?
What about your garbage?
What about it?
Okay, garbage is picked up everywhere.
Great question. How about your garbage? So here, it becomes a little tricky. Who owns your... Bless you. Who owns your garbage?
You do.
Everyone does? No, they can't. Not anyone who walks into your garbage. So what does pull it out mean? One second. If some dude comes along and starts... Okay, assume it's not in your house. It's in your garbage can. And he walks into your property. And like, And just see him like digging around. You go, hello. You're on my property. There is an idea that you're suffering your property you own. Okay? That's a problem. Even though you're going to mafkir it, even though you're going to be mevatel it, and when you say the bittul, that's going to include your garbage. Okay? That actually works. But on top of that, we have to get rid of it. So there's a whole question of who owns your garbage cans?
You do.
So not necessarily. In some places, you buy them and own them. Where I live, we buy and own them. So the chametz is inside there, even though we've nullified it. If it's in the garbage cans, we actually own it. In some states, it's owned by the state. So it may be sufficient. So what they say nowadays is that you should actually try to have it off your property. And you see many people, although technically you don't have to do this because you're a mufter anyway, but you want to get it off your property, and they will take it, and they'll literally just put it off their property, like in the street, in garbage bags. Usually, by the many areas there, you're careful to pick up your chametz, but it should be off your property. Because your property owns it, and maybe your garbage cans own it. So be out of the garbage can, on the off your property, and that's what most people do. They will leave their garbage pans, or like slightly in the street, off there, you know, on the driveway, off the driveway, kind of like, so it's like out there, so they're mafker it, and then it belongs, and it doesn't belong to them. All right? I mean, again, bittle works anyway, but that's what people do. Okay? Let's say you own chametz in another country, like in Eretz Yisrael. And you decided not to go to Israel for Pesach. Now, does Pesach begin before or after America? Does Pesach begin before or after? In Israel. How many hours difference between us and Israel?
Seven.
Uh,
no.
Six right now, actually. But it's actually seven, you're correct. So that means Pesach begins beforehand. If you own it, and Pesach kicks in over there, it could be a problem, you see. So the question arises, if Pesach and Shechem is in a different time zone, when is the actual deadline for nullification? Okay? And that's going to also apply afterwards, buying it back, you see. So according to Chazal, based upon the location of Chametz, if a person in America owns Chametz in Eretz Yisrael, they have to actually do that little, and many times I'll say, you know, from the night before, right, before the sixth hour in Israel. And they'll actually stipulate that on the form they fill out. You see?
Wait, so when they sell it, they write...
That means they're going to, the night before, it, yes, it's on the form itself, are you doing? And they will actually include that the sell kicks in before the time of Pesach in Israel. Many people, however, many postmen say it depends on the location of the person. You own it, even though it's in Israel where Pesach kicks in beforehand. Many people are lenient and will say, well, it depends where I am because I'm the owner of it and all the rest of it. So it kicks into where you are. Okay? We, however, strict both ways and we try to go through, because we're dealing with Doraisas over here and Chametz, we don't want to mess around. So we actually make sure that the selling kicks in, right, before wherever the location of your Chametz actually is. Okay? All right, so now it's Erev Pesach. Now remember, we already mentioned this last class. You are not allowed to eat matzah Erev Pesach. And the reason is because you have to have an appetite for it. Many people have a minhag not to eat it 30 days before Pesach. I remember as a kid, because my Rebbe used to take us to like matzah baking factories. And you would smell all that. And you'd say, ooh, can I eat some? And like, no! Right? It's not chametz before Pesach. 30 days before. It's a minhag not to do it. But really the night before is when it kicks in. And you can't eat chametz either from the 6th and 7th hour. Can't own it and then can't eat it. So, as a kid, I remember eating eggs and potatoes. You know, that was like standard fare. No? Did you just eat that? Yeah? Did you just eat that? Erev Pesach? What did you eat Erev Pesach? What else is there? Vegetables? Fruit? You can't eat chametz. You can't eat matzah. So you're left with anything that falls outside those groups. Okay?
I have a question.
Yeah. Even so, yeah. Okay, so Chazal mandated that we avoid saying things like, this meat is for Pesach. Right? Ze basar shel Pesach. Or basar ze le Pesach. The reason we don't say this is because people could misinterpret that and think that they're actually having a Korban Pesach, which you cannot eat outside Yerushalayim. So we don't say that this meat is for Pesach. And although we include chicken in that, although chicken isn't meat, obviously, but we give it the status of meat, so we don't do it. Okay? So Chazal prohibited us eating matzah on Erev Pesach so that we have an appetite for it, because you have to eat it on Pesach itself, Pesach with an appetite, with the desire to eat the matzah itself, okay. And this applies also to children, right? From any age, they're able to understand the discussion of Pesach, right? Even though they're below bar bar mitzvah. So from that time onwards, we don't do that. So what is prohibited itself? So any matzah that is fit for the Seder. Matzah ashira, egg matzah, is not chametz. It's not chametz. It's made from flour and eggs, or flour and something like juices. Actually, that is permitted to be eaten. Matzah ashira, that you can actually eat. So the Mishnah Berurah paskens that actually you can eat matzah that is not good enough to be fulfill the mitzvah of it, but people try to refrain from that as well. There is a fast for male firstborn sons, the Tanit of the Bechorot, that is done beforehand. This is a light fast, only for male firstborns, whether they're firstborn of a mother or a father. Nowadays, it's become a prevalent custom to do a siyum, the morning of Pesach, so that whoever attends a siyum does not have to do this fast. Even being present at a siyum of someone else is sufficient. So any male firstborns will go Erev Pesach, and the people make sure they finish a tractate of Gemara usually, so they can have a siyum, and they will, because they heard the siyum, it's a day of celebration, and then they eat. A siyum is to finish. When they finish a tractate of Gemara, they have a siyum, which is a celebration, a meal, and that will override this fast, and that's what most people do in order to get out of this, so they don't have to fast Erev Pesach, because, you know, it's a very difficult day to fast. Okay? So anyone participates in a Sudas Mitzvah, a Bris, Pidgin or Ben, which you can't really, you know, strategize, but a Seam you can. So it's customary for firstborns to attend a Seam after Shacharis, and they're allowed to do that. Okay? That's how the way they do it. So if you have a firstborn son, right, he's going to have to fast, but usually they'll do a Seam, or the father will make a Seam so that he doesn't have to. Okay? The morning before. So let's go through the hours themselves. So when do the hours kick in? So from the beginning of the fifth hour, you cannot eat chametz. Right? The fifth hour of the day, Erev Pesach, you cannot eat any more chametz. I know it's light outside. I know the sun isn't set, but you cannot. That goes from the fifth. Okay? And that's when you do the bittel. On Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, and you can't burn the chametz, so you still do the bittel by the end of the fifth hour. From the sixth hour, you cannot even benefit from any chametz. Right? You can't sell it. I'm not eating it, I'm selling it. Nope, you can't do that either. From midday, right, from Chatzos Erev Pesach, we try not to do malacha. Okay? Because that's when the Korban Pesach was sacrificed in the temple. And so it's like a minor Yom Tov. So we're talking about Malacha Gemura, real Malacha. But the level they say is basically anything which is forbidden Chol HaMoed, generally speaking, is what you shouldn't do, right? Hair cutting and shaving, laundering clothes, nail cutting is questionable, but we try to do it before midday, sewing or any of those standard things we don't do. Okay? Okay, so on page 21, you can look through your own time. I won't go into it now, but Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos. There are certain other ways to do the Bedikah. Okay, it's done on the Thursday night with a bracha, even though it's only the 13th of Nisan. Okay, then you do the search, you do the bittel. And the second bittel you do on Shabbos morning after you finish your chametz. Same thing. Okay?
If you do the search on Shabbos?
No, you do not do the search on Shabbos now.
Which one do you do?
You do it before, on the 13th.
Oh, yeah. So then you cannot have chametz in your house?
It's difficult. You can. You can. You have to be very, very careful with it.
But you can't have matzah either.
Yeah. So you have it. Basically, there's a whole technique which people have of, like, eating it outdoors. Maybe we'll do that. We'll have a special section. You can still eat chametz, but you have a certain section. As soon as you finish it, you dispose of it. You eat it all, right? Or people will flush it, destroy it. Okay, let's stop over there. Next class, we will begin our Seder. Have a great day. Midterms. Ay, 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 ay.